In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Let's praise God with some hymns to start this session.
If you're able, please be standing. Morning has spoken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken.
Thank you.
Welcome to each one of you here at Mennonite University Mennonite Church, a piece of God's kingdom here in State College. As you can tell from the weather this morning, things are changing. There's a change in the air. There's also a change in the air because young children are going back to school and their parents are seeing it, and students are coming back to the university. There are just lots of things. The teachers are feeling it. Some of us have empty nests suddenly. Some of us are grandparents. We have new life in our families. And for some people, there are unwelcome changes. There's some loss. There's some separation. And that change may be unwelcome. But the world keeps turning and changing with the seasons and the days. But God is here with us, and we can rejoice in that. Now, before we begin the rest of this service, we'd like to welcome any visitors. I'm going to start. I don't think Humphrey qualifies as a visitor anymore. This is, I think, his fourth visit here, but he'll be bringing the message this morning. But today, he's here with two other members of his family, Mary and their son, Eddie, who've been here for about 9 months. So please be sure to welcome them. Do we have any other visitors? We have ushers on the sides who could give you a microphone to give us your name if you feel comfortable. If not, okay. Well, we're going to greet each other anyway. Let's stand up and greet each other with the passing of the peace, okay? Be sure to shake somebody's hand you don't know, not just the people right next to you. Come down here. Okay, if you could make your way back to your seats again. We're going to change gears a little bit because as we come together, we also are bombarded by memories of all of the violence in the world. And our own failures to do things we ought to have done and doing things we ought not to have done. And we need to ask for forgiveness for that and grace to be better followers. I was thinking this past week, globally, of course, we were reminded of 9/11 a couple days ago and all of the lives that were lost, what I think was about 14 years ago already, something like that. And last month, I remember we commemorated, not celebrated, but remembered the 70th year since the bombs, U.S. dropped bombs on Hiroshima. And it was just 2 months since the shooting at the Emmanuel Episcopalian Church, the African Episcopalian Church in Charlotte. And at the beginning of the service, I lit this lamp. Where's Carl? Carl, you made this, didn't you? Did you make this lamp? No, okay. Well, he makes a lot of lamps, but we've been lighting this lamp ever since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, which was 12 years ago. But we continue to believe that what John said in his mystical beginning to his book in the New Testament, the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. I'd like us to remember that, but also there's
I don't know Latin, but there's an ancient prayer called Agnus Dei. Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, upon us. Do you guys know that? Lamb of God who takes away the sins. Okay. And then that's repeated twice. And then Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. I'd like us to say that together, that prayer together. Okay. Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Amen. And now Jeremy will lead us in another hymn, reminding us that God's grace is sufficient.
Be singing verses 1, 2, and 6.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
Now the children have a special message for them. They will come up to the front. Ms. Suzanne Wolf is going to share something with us.
For the most part, the sermon and the scripture have to do with using your voice. Clearly, some of you are very quiet people, and I'm sure your parents would tell me exactly the same thing. Raise your hand if you know how to talk. Now, see, we have some people who are just... who are just learning how to talk. But the ones who are learning how to talk are listening and watching very carefully, because that's how all of you learned how to talk. And your words are very important. Now, I've trained animals for many, many years. Horses, dogs, cats. And they have a language all of their own. But I can tell you, when I use my kind behaviors and my kind voice, I end up with much better trained animals. Except for maybe the cats. So, let's try an experiment, shall we? Because we have some children who are sad. And we have some children who are learning how to pay attention. And we have others of you that I think may already be able to read. So let's do this. So let me see if I can get this right. Oh no, I can do this. Watch. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe I can't do it. Okay, let's try something else then. If I can't draw the ceiling, let's do something else. Let's read a book.
The floor.
The floor. These are really the hardest things I could be asked, the ceiling and the floor. Utterly unanticipated. Let's read this book, okay? Pay attention. The name of this book is The Dot. Oh. Listen carefully. Vashti's teacher leaned over a blank paper. Ah, a polar bear in a snowstorm, she said. Very funny, said Vashti. I can't draw. And her teacher, who knew that she needed to use very kind words with Vashti, said, well, just make a mark and see where it takes you. So Vashti grabbed a marker and gave the paper a good strong jab, and it looked like that. There, she said. Her teacher picked up the paper and studied it very carefully and said, She pushed the paper towards Vashti and quietly said, now, sign it. Who can write their name? Well, that's what Vashti did. She thought for a moment, well, maybe I can't draw, but I can write my name. And so at the very bottom, just signed her name. The next week, when Vashti walked into her class, she was surprised to see what was hanging above her teacher's desk. It was her little dot. She had drawn it, her dot, and all framed in swirly gold. Woo-hoo. I can make a better dot than that, said Vashti. So she opened her never-before-used set of paints and went to work. And she painted and she painted. She painted a red dot and a purple dot, a yellow dot and a blue dot. The blue mixed with the yellow. She discovered that blue and yellow made green. Vashti kept experimenting. Lots of little dots in many colors. I'll show you. Well, if I can make little dots, I can make big dots too. So Vashti splashed her colors with a bigger brush on a bigger paper to make bigger dots. Vashti even made a dot by not painting a dot. Do you see how she did that? She painted all around the outside and left the clear space as a dot in the middle. Very cool. All at the school art show a few weeks later, look what was on display. Vashti's many paintings now of dots. She made quite a splash. And Vashti looked at a little boy gazing up at her. You're really a great artist. I wish I could draw. And Vashti used her kind words and said, I bet you can. Me? Not me. I can't draw a straight line even if I use a ruler. So, Vashti smiled, and she handed the boy a blank sheet of paper. Show me, she said. And the boy's pencil shook as he drew his line. Vashti stared at the squiggle, and then she said, please, sign it. So see how good your memory is. Who was the first person to say kind words to Vashti and say, sign it? Who was that person? Yes, Lily. Her teacher was right. And then what did Vashti learn from her teacher? Did her teacher tell her, use kind words from now on? No. What did her teacher do? Her teacher showed her many ways to be kind, and Vashti did use her kind words. Do you think you have any kind words in you? Do you think you might have a few? Well, let's see. Let's see. Because here's my dot. Here's my dot. Nobody asked me to sign it, and I can understand why. But now, can you help me? What should I be drawing here? Do you have any other thoughts? Because the ceiling is fine.
A big dot.
A big dot? Bigger?
Yeah.
I've got a surprise for you. If you're here next week, this story is going to be continued. Okay? Let's all fold our hands and say a little prayer. Ready? Our Heavenly Father, please help us to find our kind words to encourage our friends, our neighbors, and the people we meet to do good things and say kind words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's supposed to be for the children, but it's really for all of us to remember. We're going to have the offering now. Jim and Gloria are going to take it. And at the end, Jeremy is going to come up and lead us in the first two verses of number 384. And that will take the place of our prayer.
Give thee but thine home,
and I'll be reading the scriptures this morning, and then following that, our brother Humphrey will come to speak to us. I'm reading Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries?
Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?
I'm going to read from James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever or wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And with your permission, I'll read a verse from the key scriptures from Ghana, since our preacher today is from Ghana. Anokuro no aramu. This is verse 10. Anokuro no aramu. Ina inshira. Ina nomu ifi. Minu anom. Enze se iinom. Ibasa. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I know in most churches that I've visited over here, in the church, they normally will say good morning, and then the congregation will respond. But in most African independent churches, the moment we enter into the church auditorium, everything becomes praise the Lord, and then the congregation responds, hallelujah.
So I would like us to try that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The hallelujah is somehow very weak. Let's give strong hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's better. Thank you very much. So I'll be saying praise the Lord along the line. So bear that in mind. I would like to bring you greetings from Good News Theological College and Seminary on behalf of the principal and also the board members and also the students and staff and faculty of Good News Theological College and Seminary. We've received your kind donations towards the repair of the part of the building that was destroyed by fire. Everything has been put in place now in terms of trying to buy building materials, and God willing, tomorrow they will start the repairs on that building. So we are very, very grateful, and we thank you for your kind donations and also for your prayer support in this time of difficulty of the seminary. I would also like to thank all of you and those who planned for our visit. The moment we got here, there are some of you who have been driving us around and will be driving us around. And also, some of you have been kind enough to open your houses for us, feeding us, and also taking very good care of us. We appreciate that. I cannot mention all the names because there are many, including yourself as well, for opening this church auditorium for us to come and fellowship with you. We say thank you and God bless you for the kindness you always show. We appreciate that very much. Now, I don't think I'm comfortable with the message that God has given us to share this morning, but we shall try to get through that. Can we say a short word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for strength. We thank you for the privilege to be here, O Lord, to have fellowship with you. We thank you for this time that, Lord, you will speak to each and every one of us. We pray that, Lord, you speak to our hearts, you speak to our spirit, you speak to our soul, and you speak to our mind. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide, so that, Lord, at the end, we shall give glory, honor, and adoration to your holy name. We have prayed through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The text for the message that we are going to share this morning can be found in Proverbs 18:21. And it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The tongue has the power of life and death. And I've titled this sermon, Small Weapon. Small Weapon. It's very scary to talk about weapon in the church. The church is a sacred place, a place of peace, a place of non-violence, a place of positive relationship and good fellowship. So why are we talking about weapon in the church? Weapon that can destroy and destroys the society and also people as well. As we speak today, because of the use of weapon or weapons, which are various kinds of weapons we have in the world today, some people are refugees and they are knocking the doors of European countries, and some are being perished, including innocent children and so on. And we think about those, how those weapons are causing damage. However, there are small weapons also that will be used to determine whether these refugees that are suffering can have access to certain countries or not. And that weapon we are talking about, according to the book of James, is the tongue in our mouths. Because some people are going to talk, and out of their speeches, a decision will be taken that will affect the lives of people one way or the other. Now, I think James is very, very concerned about the way we use our tongue. And as I read the book, I was trying to find out why James was so much concerned about the way the people in his time were using the tongue. But it's difficult for me to get a background. I could only come out with certain things that he said in the book. And I think throughout the five chapters of James, in different ways, he tried to draw the attention of his audience about the use of the tongue. For example, if you look at chapter 1, verse 19, over there, James says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." He was very much concerned about the tongue, so he said, they should be slow to speak. Now, the same chapter 1, if you look at verse 26, it says, "If any man among you seems to be religious and control not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man or woman's religion is in vain." Once again, he was drawing attention to the need for the people and each and every one of us to be able to control our tongue, that small weapon in our mouths. In fact, in chapter 2, he also said that don't say that you have faith in God without backing it with your actions. He was very much concerned about that in chapter 2. We go to chapter 3, which was read for us today as part of our second reading, and he talked about the tongue and the fact that the tongue can cause a lot of damage, like fire as well. The tongue is evil as well. And the tongue can do two things, can bless and can curse. And that is amazing. And that shows how the tongue is an impossible instrument in our mouths, because water, the source of water, can only, you know, produce either fresh water or black water, as he calls it. And also, you see a mango tree, you suspect to get a mango fruit out of that, not orange. But the tongue is so amazing and powerful that he can do both. He can bring fruits of orange and can bring fruit of mango. That's why James was saying that the tongue can bless God and praise God, and at the same time the thorn can curse human beings that were created in the image and likeness of God. So he says, if you are able to control the tongue, you are a wonderful person. Wonderful person. And that's amazing. And if you go to chapter 4, verse 11, James was concerned about the way some people were using the tongue to speak evil against each other, their brothers and sisters. And then if you go to chapter 5, you see James talking about the way people use the tongue to grumble against their brothers and sisters, to gossip against their brothers and sisters. And the way James was concerned about the tongue, that shows the importance that he attaches to the way we use our tongue and the damage that the tongue can cause. Now, out of all that James has said, I think he was trying to draw our attention to three main things. And number one is that, let us pay attention to the way we use our tongue. Pay attention to the way you use your tongue. I have to pay attention to the way I use my tongue. I don't know if you have heard this before. I can say whatever I like. You can't ask me to shut up. Yes? And so what? I have said my piece. And such people doesn't care whether what they have said is hurting someone or not. They said they have served their peace. But their peace is not comfortable with others. And at times they say, they don't care. They have said their own. I have heard a lot when I was growing up, and I still heard that as well. But James is saying that we should pay attention to the way we use our tongue. August, September is the time that the Gan people, I'm from the tribe of Gan, and during August and September, we celebrate our annual festival called the Homowo Festival. And during this time, people and relatives who are staying far away will all come to the family house. And there will be, as part of the Homowo Festival, there will be a big family meal that we cook. We call it pokwe. And that meal, after cooking, will be shared to each and every member of the family from one pot. Every member of the family will share that. But I do remember very well that during this occasion, that is supposed to be a time of reunion and a time of fellowship among the family, during the cooking, and at times before the eating, someone may just say one word. Someone may just say just a phrase or a sentence, and people will lose appetite. It will dramatically change the whole atmosphere. Some may not even eat the food again. American Thanksgiving is coming. And I know you remember some of Thanksgiving dinners or lunches that at times the table will be set, and in the course of the conversation, someone may just say, that is the power of the tongue, that small weapon. Someone may just say a sentence or two, and then this person will add something, that person will add something. If you are not careful, the turkey will be left alone. And that's why James is so much concerned in saying that We should be careful the way we use our tongue. The way we choose our words, we have to pay attention to that. Number two is that our tongue can enable and suppress human creativity. And that's why James was saying that the tongue has the ability to bless and curse at the same time. It can encourage people and it can discourage people. The tongue can wage war and the tongue can bring peace. The tongue can actually curse and bless. The tongue can say false things and the tongue can tell the truth. The tongue can condemn people and the tongue can praise people. The tongue can divide people and the same tongue can reconcile people. The tongue can imprison people and the tongue can liberate people. There are a lot of people in jail today as a result of what people said. Just what people said. Whether it's true or not, it has put them somewhere. And the tongue can also give a constructive criticism or destructive criticism. And because the tongue can do these two things, James is asking us to pay attention to what we say. And in our first reading from Isaiah, it says that the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustained the weary. So we must therefore use our tongue to encourage, to inspire, to reconcile, to make peace, to liberate people, to build each other, and to tell people about the saving or salvation work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third point is silence. There is a saying that speech is silver and silence is golden. At times, it is better to keep silent. Just keep the small weapon where it is. Now, there is an example with the life of Job in the Bible. When all those calamities happened to him, and he was mourning in pain, three of his friends visited him. They were silent and mourning with him for a week. And I think during those times, Job enjoyed their company. But when they began to speak, Job was not comfortable. Their words were too harsh on him. To the extent that in Job chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, Job said that, "You, however, smear me with lies. You are worthless physicians, all of you. If only you will be altogether silent, for you, that will be wisdom." So he was fed up with them. They were saying things that they don't even understand. They don't even know. And at times we meet and we have people like that. They will talk and say things they don't even understand. They don't have any clue. And such people are people when you talk to them and they will tell you that, "I have said my piece, and so what?" They don't care. And we can imagine how this small armor in our mouth has created and is creating problems in our friendships, is creating problems in our marriages, is creating problems at our workplaces, at times the way we speak, the way some people speak. So at times it's better to just be silent. And like Job said, we need God's wisdom so that we can discern when to speak and when to be silent. That is very, very important. Because if you speak at a wrong time and maybe wrong words, at times it's not helpful. You can also speak, your speech will be okay, but maybe at the wrong time and at the wrong place, and people will not appreciate that. And that's why we need God's wisdom so that we can discern that moment. That moment that whatever comes out of our mouth will be uplifting and healing to the people that listen to us. And we thank God for giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, who is always teaching us and ordering our speech as well. Before I take my seat, I would like to say that there are various campaigns, both here in Ghana and other countries, that talks about the need for gun control. And I would like to suggest that there should also be need for tongue control. And that's what James is telling us today. We can control our tongue if we are able to control our emotions, if we are able to control our hearts, if we are able to control our minds, and if we are able to control our hunger. A quotation from a man called Lawrence J. Peter. He said this, and I quote, "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." He says, speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to sit down with this quotation, Bible passage from Psalm 19, verse 14, that it is important for each and every one of us that maybe the moment we wake up from bed, we should say this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. God bless you.
Standing for the song. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made it known, nor why with mercy Christ in love redeemed me for
There are a number of announcements in the bulletin. I'm sure you'll look at those if you haven't been reading them during the service. Okay. We're having a fellowship meal today after the service. We're having Sunday school. Is that correct? Who's the Sunday school person? Are we having a discussion of the sermon? Carl. Okay, there'll be a discussion of the sermon up here. Elaine, do people get coffee now or what? What do they do? Wait till...
Yes, coffee should be ready, so we're down for coffee, and then come back up here to the sermon discussion.
Okay, and then after that... Yeah, and students in general. Who all do we have? Any students do we have here? No. I didn't say teachers. How many students do we have here? Come on, some of you guys are students. Anyway, any students should be celebrated as well as older students. Let's see. So I think, are there any other announcements that people need to make? Okay, then please feel free to stay and have the food. I'm sure it's going to be good, and there's always a lot of food. And I'm going to ask Brother Humphrey to give us the benediction, and then Jeremy will lead us in our closing hymn. Is that the one you said? Is that the page right? The page number's right?
Please, let's stand as we receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
So sing the Journey, Green Book, number 78. We'll sing this through twice. The second time in English, we'll cover the first two brothers and sisters lines on that verse. Seas o humana ye, wo wo wo, seas o humana ye. Seas o humbanaye, wo